After a few minutes on the highway, there were tears on Lori's face. She clenched the wheel. Jacob did not notice. He was lost in his own thoughts. His eyes were fixed on the view ahead of him between the two front seats, through the windshield, the crowd of cars speeding in formation down the track. Lori signaled and moved into the right lane where the traffic was sparse, and she began to pick up speed. 76, 77, 78, 79, 80. She unclipped her seatbelt and handed it back over her left shoulder. Jacob would have grown, of course. In a couple of years, his voice would have deepened. There would have been new friends. In his 20s, he would have looked more and more like his father. His dark stare would have relaxed with time into a gentler expression as he set down the worries and sorrows of adolescence. His raw-boned frame would have filled out. He would not have been as big as his hulking father, just a little taller, a little broader in the shoulders than most. He would have considered law school. All kids imagine themselves in their parents' occupations, however briefly, however uncomfortably. But he would not have become a lawyer. He would have considered the work too extroverted, too theatrical, too pedantic for his reticent personality. He would have spent a long time searching, a long time laboring in jobs that did not suit him. As the minivan crossed 85 miles per hour, Jacob said, without any real concern, "Going a little fast there, aren't you, Mom?" "Am I?" He would have met his grandfather. He was curious already, and given his own legal problems, he would have wanted to confront the whole issue of his patrimony, of what it meant to be the grandson of Bloody Billy Barber. He would have gone to meet the man and been disappointed. The legend, the nickname, the fearsome reputation, the murder that was literally unspeakable to so many, was much bigger than the withered old man behind it, who in the end was just a thug, albeit a well-bred thug. Jacob would have come to terms with it somehow. He would not have done it the way I did, by erasing it, ignoring it, willing it away. He was too thoughtful to fool himself that way. But he would have made his peace with it. He would have passed from son to father, and only then would he have seen how little the whole thing really meant. Later, after some wandering, he would have settled down far away, somewhere no one had ever heard of the Barbers, or at least where no one knew enough about the story to bother with it. Somewhere out west, I think. Bisbee, Arizona, maybe. Or California. Who knows? And in one of those places, one day he would have held his own son in his arms and looked down into that baby's eyes, as I did with Jacob many times, and wondered, "Who are you? What are you thinking?" "Are you all right, Mom?" "Of course." "What are you doing? This is dangerous." 88, 89, 90. The minivan, a Honda Odyssey, was actually quite heavy. Not mini at all, its name notwithstanding. And it had a powerful engine. It was easy to speed. It felt very stable at high speeds. Driving it, I was often surprised to glance down at the speedometer and discover I was doing 80 or 85 miles an hour. But above 90, it began to shudder a little and the wheels began to lose contact with the road.